Turn to page 2 for Untapped Genius. Turn to page 3 for Norks.
Ahoy, my hearties, and welcome aboard the good ship Can Laughter. Battening down his hatches is Simon.
Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Actually, could I get an IPA?
And giving the old heave ho is me, Steph. Yarr!
Pirates.
Pirates.
And not, the BitTorrent kind.
Yeah, the less BitTorrenty, more keel hauling. How are you?
Although that has given me an idea of putting a BitTorrent tracker on an actual pirate ship and just sailing around with a Wi-Fi hotspot. But I digress.
I digress and plug.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going since last week when me and you bravely held down the podcast?
The podcast fort.
Yeah, against
in case
the...
In case it blows away.
Against the hordes of internet boredom.
It's all right. It's been a bit of a crazy day at work, but I'm back now. I'm fed. I'm calm. It's all fine.
Well, that's good.
All fine until the next 2 days when I have to pack for Glasgow.
What are you going to Glasgow for?
I'm sure I mentioned this.
You may be, but I have very poor memory and I don't remember what we've talked about until the podcast has gone up and I listened to last week's podcast.
Yeah, no, I mentioned on last week's podcast that I'm going to Scotland a couple of times in the next few weeks.
Oh, okay.
And this weekend I'm going to Glasgow.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, that's the most exciting thing in my life right now.
I mean, I've never been to I've been to Scotland a few times, but I've never been to Glasgow.
Last time I went to Glasgow was for the National Student Television Awards in 2010. And I had a good time. I mean, it was obviously very uni-focused, but it was still good.
I consider it a shame that I never really got more into YSTV and went to some of those award shows.
It was definitely my favourite thing about uni, was that place.
Yeah, I'd hope so, considering you pretty much lived there towards the end of uni.
Yeah, I did. Well, I think the reason I loved it so much was because I'd originally gone to uni to do an electronics degree, and I originally joined the society to help out with the technical stuff, because I thought, you know, I am a technical person, I am technically minded, I will do a technical thing. And then as I got there, I discovered that I was actually okay on the more production side. Like, that's where I cut my teeth on video editing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was during that time that I highly refined my audio production skills. And the two worked out quite nicely. And then, of course, that led to Mark and I doing Man Man.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how it all works out.
Yeah, well, it was through Mark that I sort of went down that route. Because the first thing we did together was produce some new titles for his quiz show Your Answer's Rubbish.
Yeah, I never saw any of that. It's something I've heard about many, many times, but never actually learned about.
Well, YSTV's always had one regular, sort of game show, quiz show thing going. So yeah. When we first started, it was Lip Sync, then that kind of morphed into Your Answer's Rubbish, and now they've got one called The Ultimate Challenge.
Oh, okay. Are you still in contact with the guys from uni then?
Yeah, most of them. Like that. I don't think of them as like, you know, YSTV contacts. I think of them as friends. But even though I'm terrible at keeping in contact with people I haven't seen in a while, I'm still in contact with them.
That's cool.
Yeah, made a lot of friends through it.
Yeah, I was thinking this the other day. Like, I only hang around and talk to a few people from uni. And I was kind of thinking the other day, like, oh, maybe I should get back into contact with people that I knew in first year. And then I rapidly changed my mind and thought, nah, fuck them. I've got better things to do, like sitting down.
Yeah, like sitting down. Well, I've spent all this time standing up.
I spent a long time standing up, and I think it's about time I just spent a lot of time sat down. And frankly, I think that's probably the best way forward.
Well, I've stayed in contact with a lot fewer people that I met through my degree. And even fewer that I met through like living arrangements. Like really, I'm only in contact with two of them.
Oh yeah,
just the two people I lived with in my fourth year.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. So that's like the sort of tier of uni contacts. There's I is sort of at the bottom. You got Wise TV lot, which is the widest. Then on top of that, you got degree, and then on top of that, you got we shared a bathroom.
That's always a. I still see like status updates on Facebook because I haven't cleared Facebook out in forever from people in first year, and they're all still friends with the same people from first year. It's just like all we really had in common was that we were forced to share a bathroom.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, to me, that's not the basis of a good relationship.
Well, depends what kind of relationship you have,
I suppose. But
chances are that the bathroom wasn't an integral part of it.
Maybe. I still think that it's fairly integral. It pretty much, you know, shaped the way you acted to people.
What, working out a timeshare for pooping?
Well, it's not just that, but it's, you know, there's only so many times you can come to respect someone you see emerging from the shower, you know, towel just about strapped to them.
Just hoping that it stays on.
Yeah, so, oh my God, just keep up, just so I don't have to avert my eyes.
Our house in second year was an old shitty terrace that had some expansions put on. And the bathroom, well, there was like a tiny sort of toilet room, which was upstairs. And the main bathroom was downstairs off the kitchen. So anytime you had a shower, you had to get, yeah, sort of go through the kitchen. When you left, you had to come out of the bathroom, through the kitchen, through the living room, then up the stairs where you could, you know, get your cock out in peace. Also, my bedroom during that time was built, like that was built on top of the bathroom. So none of those were in the original house plans. So there was actually an outside window facing into my room, which I had the good sense to at least cover up with a couple posters. So you couldn't actually see anything and it just became this weird ornament. Or just this thing where you'd look at the stairs and see a terrible joke about vodka. Oh, student housing's weird.
Yeah, I was thinking this the other day. I went away at the weekend. I went to see my family. We had a big went to stay in the big house, but on the way, I picked up my cousin from university. She's over in Leeds. I went into her house. First of all, she doesn't live like a student. She lives like I used to live when I was a student, which is remarkably well. I mean, the house is perfect. It's clean. Between them, they've got like three PlayStations. It's just wonderful. It's a lovely place to live. Yeah, I know. And then,
how'd they wangle that one?
I have no idea. It's just that's like one PlayStation too many. Understand two. One for upstairs, one for downstairs. But three is a bit excessive. They've got two in the same lounge with two TVs.
That's just silly. You don't need that. The whole point of having multiple consoles, surely, is that you can have them in different rooms. Oh, and I thought the whole sort of advantage of a console over a PC was the social aspect.
Yeah, that's what I'd assume. But
so surely having two side by side playing different games is defeating that.
I don't know. I don't understand that thing. They were just we're only there briefly and then we came away. But we're talking about first year and how I don't miss first year at all. If anybody offered for me to go back into halls, because some people go, oh yeah, it'd be great. I'm like, nope, fuck that noise. And I had a lovely time in halls. It was nice, but I do not want to live with, 20 other people now.
Yeah, I considered doing it for my fourth year, but ultimately decided not to. I mean, what had happened was, obviously my fourth year was on a separate degree, same uni, separate degree.
Yeah.
When it sort of came around to that start of 2009 time, the time when you're supposed to get the accommodation sorted, I don't think I'd started applying for my master's course. So I couldn't apply for accommodation, obviously, because I didn't know I was going to need it. And then it turns out that two of the people... Well, one of my friends that I'd been living with in third year, she did the same thing, a three-year degree and a master's. And she'd got a house with her boyfriend, who I was also friends with, and her and another friend of hers, who again had done 3 years and applied for a master's. The friend unfortunately did not get on the master's course, so she had to give up her room somehow or keep paying the rent.
Yeah.
And that's when I swooped in and just picked up the contract.
Like some kind of housing hero. A housing swashbuckler, which fits in lovely.
Just call me Captain Legally Convenient. So that was nice, and it continued the trend of all the houses that I'd lived in York getting progressively nicer. My second year house was shit and full of spiders. My third year house was nice and full of spiders. And my fourth year house was nice and only sometimes full of spiders.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, my house, I consider my house to be quite nice. I'd hope you agree. But again, full of fucking spiders.
It's a York thing.
I don't understand.
Why does York have so many spiders?
It was, you know... I don't get me wrong, when Mark was living with me, it was really fun because, you know, Mark's terrified of them. And every so often you hear, holy fuck! And he come running out of his room. Oh, dear.
Yeah. I don't get it.
No, neither do I.
I get them in this house sometimes, usually at the sort of September-October time when they all come in from the cold. But for most of it, it's just average. You know, you'll get the occasional small to medium one, and it's like, okay, I can deal with that. You know, the big ones are very, very borderline. But yeah, York is full of the fuckers. And it doesn't make any sense.
Blow my mind. I don't know where to go from there.
let's step back a bit. Back from spiders to living with people.
Okay.
And rental.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing. I mean, part of the reason that my housing's got nicer over the years was because I ended up with landlords that were less and less strict about things. I mean, my first house, the landlady was barely there. She did it all through a letting agency, and the letting agency were complete dicks about everything. I forget all the details, but they really tried to nickel and dime us on a lot of things.
Oh yeah, how so?
Yeah, when we moved in, there was water damage on the wall, which meant there was damp. We told them about the damp. They said they'd do something about it. They did nothing.
Of course they did.
The damp turned to mould. We told them that it turned to mould, and they said they'd do something about it, and they did nothing. And then the mould attracted mites.
Ah.
Which covered, like, everything in one of the bedrooms. Luckily not mine. Well, luckily for me. They didn't spread that much. But that first term was just hell.
Yeah.
For various reasons. It got better from January when, I don't know, I think they finally sent something. The room was quite humid, so they gave us a dehumidifier, a tiny little bullshit thing that did nothing. And we were like, look, this is doing nothing. So then they finally sent in a big industrial dehumidifier, which made a fair bit of noise, but actually cleaned the place out of water, that's the word. Of humanness. And it slowly got progressively better. I mean, aside from the fact that it was still full of fucking spiders. and the lawn was covered in, like, gravel and stones and rocks. So, using the lawnmower was...
an exercise in futility?
Yeah. And we had to do upkeep on that. We never did. And at the end, they tried to bill us for all kinds of stupid shit that we were meant to take care of, but didn't. Like washing the mattress covers, which were clean. And something else I can't remember, but they wanted to charge us like £100 for something that was stupid. And we got them to knock that off, and they eventually didn't do it. Of course, it's not coming to me now. No. Next house, dealt with the landlady directly, and she was really nice, and that was all fine. And the house was nice. The only problem was it was full of fucking spiders. Also, the rooms were tiny, but what can you do? I at least had a bigger bed. And the third house was the nicest house of all.
Yeah.
It's just right. And I had a nice big kitchen on it. That was good.
No, I yeah, I find the whole thing odd, you see, because I never went through it.
Do you just have the one house?
Yeah, I bought it, didn't I?
You did.
I have my house that I live in, and I bought, and I have a mortgage on, and I stayed there. And the people that live with me paid for pretty much all the rent, so I always had money. So it was kind of, you know, I had a lovely time. I was thinking this the other day. I had a really nice time at uni, probably because everyone else paid for me.
Well, that's always a thing of being a student, isn't it? You have no money, and it's just, please don't hit overdraft limit, please don't hit overdraft limit, please don't hit overdraft limit. Or was that just me?
I never had an overdraft. I just had, fucker. I know, I just had money. It was, you know, I appreciate that I'm, you know, different and lucky. However, I win. I think I won university.
I think you did.
Like every time anybody who lived with me points out the fact that they did better, because I only got a third at uni, which I'm not too fussed about. You know, it's okay. I could, yeah,
same.
You know, you just get over it. But like Mark, I think it was Mark once pointed out that he got higher than me. He's like, yeah, but you did just pay for me to go to university, pretty much. It's like a winning comeback argument for everything, pretty much.
Yeah, it sounds like you did all right from that.
Yeah, I you know, I won. Again, I won university.
Yeah, the... well, to be honest, it's even worse for me because my parents paid for my rent. They did with my brother, so they did that for me as well because they want to keep us both equal.
That makes sense.
And I still ran out of money. I was fine in first year. I was fine in first year because, I don't know, I guess because the rent covered all the heating bills and stuff.
Yeah. I think that's the issue, is that, you know, it's all well and good having having your rent paid for, but it's when you have to put down, like, all the money on bills and... Heating's fucking expensive.
It is. It's crazy. So, and also, it was easier in first year when you lived in halls and you could just go back to eat something.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just get a block of cheese, make some toast, you know, and there's a light lunch.
I once had a half a tub of grated Parmesan and some chicken. So I made chicken Parmesan. That's kind of ridiculously unhealthy lunch I used to have at university. And then I got a house, and all of a sudden I started eating better, which costs much more.
Yeah, healthiness ain't cheap. And of course, when you're living in a house in York, because the campus is, you know, out in the middle of
fucking nowhere,
the Bahamas.
I fucking wish.
Then I was like, oh, I can't be fucked to go home. I'll just buy something. So of course, I ended up buying a lot of lunch. Which I was doing in secondary school anyway. It would always go out to the town centre and buy lunch there. So I was used to doing that, and of course, I spent a lot more that way. So the lesson is, and banks. I don't know whether this is just my bank, but banks did that weird thing where your overdraft limit increases the further through your studies you go, as if they know that going to university is just a gradual loss. That you're just going to get poorer and poorer and poorer.
Yep.
Whole thing's kind of fucked, really, but...
You've just described our modern education system. Here, give me all your money for the next 4 years, and you'll eventually come out of it with a piece of paper that in no way benefits your working life.
Yeah, because all the employers would be like, well, what experience do you have? Well, I spent 4 years getting this fucking piece of paper.
That's not experience. What? Is it?
It's an experience.
It's certainly something. I don't know.
Yeah, look. If I hold the paper up in the light and turn it, it shines. Do you want to go down this route? Do you want to open this can of worms?
I think we've already opened it, but you know.
Yeah, we have.
We can move off of it. I'm fine with that.
Well, let me just say one final thing. This is one thing where I think the American system is a hell of a lot better. Because in the American system, you go to university and you do a whole variance of things. You do all kinds of courses. And then in your final year, or towards your final year, you pick a major. You decide what you're going to focus on. So you get a much wider range of material, and then you decide what it is you want to do. You essentially retroactively choose your position, and that's a hell of a lot better than doing a course or applying for a course, getting in, and then realising this wasn't the right choice at all. This was a terrible choice. Because what are you going to do then?
Panic.
Yeah, panic, drop out, you know. Well, there goes $6,000 or whatever it was.
Oh, it's much more than that now.
There's probably 18-year-olds shouting at this and going, it's 20 for me, you fuck. Yeah, but it's just stupid. This idea of pick a course when you're 17 and you know nothing about the world, decide what will be your specialty for the rest of your life. Which isn't how it is, but it's how they present it.
Yeah, but it's pretty much how it is.
It is pretty much how it is.
I mean, Doug, you've just locked into, well, you're not really locked into a path, but you certainly are aiming for a path. I mean, I don't know now if I'd have chosen what I wanted, what I have done.
As in retroactively?
Yeah, I think I may have gone down a different route. If only so I could make some more money.
I think... the thing of doing a degree in one subject and then wanting to apply for a job in another subject is that it looks like you've kind of applied for the wrong job.
Mm.
Especially if you don't have experience in the thing you're actually applying for. I mean, the reason I didn't do a computer science degree was because I thought, well, it'll be very theory heavy and maths heavy, and I want something more practical. And since electronics is basically practical physics, you know, it's physics put to a use, even though physics is already maths put to a use. It's kind of like physics, but more useful. So I thought, right, that'll be ideal. But I think, and, you know, I am interested in both those things, but I think in retrospect, it would have been better for me to do a computer science degree, given that that's the sort of field I'm wanting to go into.
Yeah.
That's what I would rather do as a career. So perhaps it would have made, given my relative lack of commercial experience, it would have made more sense to get some academic experience, and then I can say, well, at least I've got this.
Yeah, I think because I remember being at university and why would anybody want to choose dentistry? Like, what a terrible, terrible choice would it? Yeah, it's because they're making all the fucking money in the world. I think I'd go
into some dentists.
Yeah, I think I'd go into something like optometry or dentistry or something.
Yeah, so a sort of specialised applied biology.
Yeah, pretty much. Just something I could go, yeah, all right then. And do that for the rest of my life and earn a ton of money and retire young.
And retire young on your inflatable 10-foot... No, I don't know. I don't know what kind of dinghies rich people have. Just send out a focus group. Dinghies for the 1%. What do you want?
Right, what should we talk about now? I think we've waxed lyrical on that far too long. That's our soapbox stage of the podcast.
That's our first topic. So we need to pick a second topic now. We should have probably prepared for this, given that Mark's not here next week either.
Yeah, I was expecting Mark to be here, though. I was not aware that he hadn't got his finger out of his ass and got the internet yet.
Well, he only told me, like, last Friday or so.
Scumbag, honestly. You'd think you'd try harder. If only he was as dedicated to this as we were.
It's the internet as well. How did you go 2 weeks without landline internet, without going insane? They'll be like, I can't take it anymore!
Yeah, that probably says a lot about me and you more than it does about him. Maybe his girlfriend's been visiting. That's probably enough to distract anybody. I don't know. I'm still surprised he's got a girlfriend.
I know what you mean.
I mean, it's not that he's not, attractive, I guess. I just... It's Mark. I always thought he was destined to be single.
I always thought he'd be destined to be single for a while.
Yeah.
And then he sort of turn it all around and Turned into like a really dapper Victorian gent.
He'd turn up one day just full of just like, this is my wife. Like, what the fuck?
sort of like when someone lives a life of like lots of hard drugs and debauchery and then turns to Jesus. Like, but with less magnitude.
Yeah, it's a...
Mark, I'm not comparing your girlfriend to Jesus.
Yeah, neither am I. Still, maybe you should think about finding Jesus.
Yeah, and if you see him, tell him, where the fuck have you been all these years? You know, because I'm sure there's a lot of Christians who want to ask that.
Oh, dear me.
It's tough, isn't it? Just... We nothing interesting happened.
Ever. What? When? What's going on?
Recently?
Simon, you confuse me. Well, I've been away. I had fun. I cooked a roast for 20 people. That's what I accomplished on Sunday.
Yeah, but you're good at that.
Yeah, but that's the first time I've ever done something that big.
Okay, I tell you what. Tell the story. Paint us a word picture.
Paint you a word picture. I worked my ass off making a roast dinner for 20 people. There's nothing more to tell. We peeled a lot of things and I cooked for 4 or 5 hours straight.
That's not a word picture. That's a word cum shot.
What? Would you...
Like a
word splatter.
For 1 minute,
will you stop thinking about cum shots? I mean, honestly.
I've gone 35 minutes without thinking about cum shots.
Is that because you've been giving cum shots?
Hey, that's a new record for me.
35 minutes without thinking about cum shots.
Something like that.
Oh, God. And we're back on track. Hey, it's Cat Laughter.
Okay, undue exaggerated persona. I actually, you know what I have been thinking the past few days?
Hmm.
I'd really like to make a bomb. Like, not a real bomb.
Wait, what?
Not like
Dude,
an actual...
This is, you can't say that on the internet, okay? There will be people around to take you out. And I'm not associated with him, listening person.
Right, any authorities listening, please let me continue. Not a real bomb, not like an actual exploding one, like a fake bomb, a prop bomb that you'd use on a cheesy, low-budget sci-fi thriller. You know, just a sort of electronics light show with flashing lights and wires everywhere and
you mean like
big,
a
scary countdowns.
Like a special effects bomb?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, it's prop... Like, I'm kind of interested in prop design. I think it's just my problem of constantly trying to think behind the scenes TV show.
Because you realise prop design and special effects bomb are two different things, right?
Yeah, well, a special effects bomb is a thing you do in prop design.
Well, not really. I mean, one thing you're constructive low-grade explosives, the other you're making just, you know, various sets and stuff.
No, it's not low-grade explosives. This is not going to be explosive at all. Because what?
So
you know,
you just want something that looks like a bomb?
Yeah, it doesn't have to actually explode. Especially if you're going to have, you know, highly paid actors next to it. It's going to count down 3, 2, 1, and then because in the editing they'll cut to the CG explosion, it'll, I don't know, maybe a flag with that says boom will pop out or something.
It's come up. Explosion.
Yeah, because the footage will have stopped rolling by then. I don't know, I've always wanted to make a prop bomb.
Okay. You say prop bomb, I just think of like one of those old school like black cannonball ones with a fuse sticking out the top.
like using the human cannonball stunts?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, those human cannonball ones, that's obviously not a real cannon, because that'd kill you. It's spring-loaded.
Yeah.
And all the smoke is fake.
it's
real smoke, but it's not, you know, from burning any actual gunpowder. Fake smoke. How do you even do fake smoke?
A few ways.
But it's real smoke, though.
Well, no, it's not. Well, it is, but it's not smoke in the, like, fire kind of sense of the word. It's essentially, it comes in like a liquid form that I can't remember what it's called.
Like dry ice?
Yeah, sort of, but not dry ice because...
Yeah, like dry ice is for steam, isn't it?
Yeah. but slightly different. Because the trick is you can't use dry ice, because dry ice, if it collects in high enough quantities, will just stay there and then kill people. Because it's less dense than air. So it's denser than air, so it sits on the ground. So people bend down. It's one of these things that you'll find in there are certain areas in the world that have really high carbon dioxide content, like vents coming from the ground. And what happens is that it collects in like pools on the ground. So like people will go down, bend over to tie their shoelaces and pass out because there's no oxygen. So they'll take a massive lung full of carbon dioxide, not be able to stand up straight, pass out, and then suffocate.
Oh, because they're down there where none of the oxygen is.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's not good.
No, it's not. Funny, but in a kind of, you know.
Okay, he's dead.
Well, I was having this discussion today. There are certain things that have, I know someone's died, but if even when I'm looking at the Darwin Awards, it's funny. It's a funny way.
Yeah, there are funny ways to die.
Yeah.
I think we can accept that premise as true.
I wonder who won the Darwin Awards this year.
Let's find out.
Darwin Award, Newcastle Icicle. Investigative journalism reaching a new low when a reporter freezes to death while getting an inside look at the lives of those who sleep rough. Intent to advance his career, Lee Haplin, 26, decided to acquire a background in the problem by pretending to be homeless. He borrowed a sleeping bag and, waving aside the concerns of family and friends, he set off onto the streets alone. I will sleep rough, scrounge my food, interact with as many homeless people as possible, and immerse myself in a lifestyle as deeply as I can, said the journalist. 3 days before freezing to death in a boarded-up hostel. Hypothermia is suspected, and autopsy results are pending. Meanwhile, two homeless men have been arrested on possibly drug-related charges. What the fuck?
But at the very least, that doesn't paint a good picture for being homeless.
Oh god, this is a... Smoking hot sauce. It was just a freak accident, said an investigator, that caused the death of 43-year-old Gary Allen Banning. Gary was at a friend's apartment when he spotted a salsa jar containing a mystery fluid. Thinking that it was an alcoholic beverage, he helped himself to a sizable swig of gasoline. Naturally enough, he immediately spit out the offending liquid onto his clothes. Then, to recover from the shock, Gary lit a cigarette. Firefighters responded to calls reporting a fire in the apartment and found a badly burned man sitting on a charred carpet. In the morning, Gasoline Gary died at the UNC Burn Centre in Chapel Hill. Two mistakes caused his death. The first mistake was minor, gulping golden liquid from a salsa jar. Although Darwin Awards editors feel the jar of yellow liquid is best left sealed, drinking its contents usually does not lead to combustion. But the second mistake, lighting a cigarette to recover from the shock of taking a mouthful of gasoline, was a decision that the average five-year-old would consider questionable. As the late Bill Hicks said, damn, we lost another idiot. Wow. That's impressive. I love the Darwin
Awards.
That's
quite something. You've got me scared now.
Why?
What I said before about wanting to make it and leaving out the fact it was a prop bomb.
Oh, no, don't be. You've clarified it. And we're, you know, if someone's listening, they're not going to come after you. They need more than that. You can say bomb, it's not a problem. I'll say bomb now. Bomb, 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 bomb,
bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb, bomb. Bum 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 bum. Yeah, I have clarified. But we live in an age of quote mining.
Yeah, I know, but it's taken out. Essentially, who's going to be mining us for quotes? First of all, I mean, I'm not saying that we're not sort of good at what we do.
We are sort of good at what we do.
But really, I don't think we're at a point where people are coming after us for quotes. I mean, we're not. The company isn't at that stage yet.
Oh, it's not even a registered company yet.
Well, yeah. I like to think of us as an organisation then. Maybe we should be .org. We're not for profit.
We're more of a collective.
We're a think tank.
We're not for profit yet. And when we turn to profit, we don't want to have to change our domain name.
No, that's true. How do you make profit off of a podcast?
Sponsorship, I think. Sponsorship advertising. So we need a lot more listeners.
I don't know how many listeners we have at the minute.
I don't know. I think Mark has all the stats.
Well, he is a community manager.
He is a community manager. And I'm chief of audio production, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm...
chef.
I'm catering.
Yeah, that rounds it out nicely.
I think I can do a better job than catering.
Well,
I've got. I at least deserve a producer credit. Oh god, I've had this argument with you guys before.
Yeah, well, we've kind of all got producer credit.
Yeah.
So you'll need something else that's, you know, special to you.
I don't know. I don't know. You guys don't need managing.
Well, we need feeding.
Yeah. Stop trying to make me just the cook. I need it. Just because you're in charge. You guys got really good jobs.
Well, you're not just the cook. It's just that we're not the cooks. It's a very different perspective.
God.
I don't know. We'll keep thinking on it.
Yeah.
You could be moral support.
Moral support. Right now you're just being insulting.
Okay, immoral support.
God damn it.
Apparently dry ice is occasionally used to freeze and remove warts.
Yeah.
However, liquid nitrogen performs better on this role since it is colder, so requires less time to act and less pressure. However, dry ice has the advantage of having fewer problems with storage since it can be generated from compressed carbon dioxide gas as needed.
Yeah, it's fucking cold. Although it's very, there are pranks we play on each other in the lab whenever we get dry ice. You put, you know what an Eppendorf tube is?
Kinky. I don't know what an Eppendorf tube is.
No, it's a small, you can get them in various sizes. So you take a 2 mil Eppendorf tube, and it has a tight seal lid so you can mix stuff so it doesn't come out the top. And you slip a chunk of dry ice in there, and you seal it, and then surreptitiously drop it into someone's pocket. And what happens is, because the tight seal lid won't pop out, the dry ice melts, becomes carbon dioxide, and expands. So all of a sudden you'll hear this bang! Someone will jump 3 foot in the air as this tiny thing goes off in their pocket.
It's basically a prop bomb.
Pretty much.
Welcome to the Canned Laughter Bomb Making Masterclass.
God, no! Why would you even say that?
Fine. Welcome to the Canned Laughter Prop Bomb Making Masterclass.
There you go.
Making fake bombs that won't kill anyone.
Oh, Jesus.
300 days since last jihad. No, it's fine. It's fine. I presume you're not on a jihad.
No,
I mean, I'm not.
Right, can we not? Let's move on. I don't know what to. I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed recently, the new one, Black Flag.
Yeah, I forget what counts as the new one now. The new one of anything.
The new one of anything. Are you up to date with, you know, the new consoles coming out?
No.
Okay.
Not really. Considering there's still some PlayStation 2 games I want to finish.
All right, fair enough.
/ start, / buy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm quite a way behind.
Yes.
And I don't seem to find the time. I have the time, I just don't know how to use it properly.
I don't know, what do you do with your time?
I don't know. Not that much. That's the problem. I've got enough time, I just don't fill it with enough things. So yeah, tell me about Black Flag.
It's a lot of fun. It's sort of like a half return to form, because the last one was kind of shit, the Assassin's Creed 3.
Assassin's Creed 3.
That's
probably why it came through with my graphics card then.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, it was all right, but it was just, I kind of got bored halfway through. It was very linear, and I didn't really feel any sort of need to go exploring. Whereas with Black Flag, essentially what's happened is they've said, okay, cool, you're a pirate. These are all your tools. There's a storyline over there. Also, you're in the Caribbean, and you can do pretty much whatever you like. Go. I was like, oh, this is brilliant. So I'm very, very slowly clearing the entire map, avoiding the campaign from top right to bottom left in an attempt to get everything I need.
Nice. See, I can imagine that working, straddling both extremes. You either have a very linear game or a very open-ended game. But the worst thing is when you've got one that tries to be the other. Like, Half-Life 2 is my favourite first-person shooter ever, and it's linear as tits. Well, tits aren't linear, but you get the idea.
I was going to say, it shows how long you've been away from them.
compared to something like that, or, say, Just Cause 2, where it's just, do whatever you want. There's a storyline here if you want it, but...
Yeah, I prefer those kind of games, especially now I realise I don't have as much time as I'd like. I think it would be. It's something like that. That just makes me go, awesome. Right, let's see what I can do for the next hour. So I came home tonight and I just went pirating. I just took over ships. They were a lot of fun. I just blew shit up, killed some guys, and started collecting rocks. So you know.
Yeah, you can become a geologist.
Yeah, well, they're Mayan things and they unlock armor, so I don't know. I don't know. I'm just, you know, killing time.
I think I prefer the more linear games because I like a game to have a sense of progression. Yeah. A sense that where you are in the world changes as you go through it. Which is why I was never a fan of screen-based gameplay in the really old late 80s games or the retro games that follow that kind of style. I don't like screen-based gameplay because it's not as spatially contiguous. Like, spatial contiguity is it's a thing I have a real soft spot for. Which is why I like games with no load times. I like games that aren't split into distinct levels. You know, I like the continuity of it.
Yeah. Have you seen the you probably won't have the new Dead Rising coming out that's going to have no loading times.
Hooray!
Hooray! It's nice. And it's a game that me and Mark played while we were in Eurogamer, and it was a lot of fun because I strapped flamethrowers to a steamroller and a motorbike and, went about my business.
Well, that sounds all right, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was, especially considering that my business was about 30,000 zombies in a straight line in front of me. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, so hopefully I'll... whenever I can afford to get the new consoles, I don't know. Whenever that'll be, I'll get that.
I may get a PS4 sometime in the future.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a specific date yet, but I think I prefer the look of the PS4 because it is more of a focused gaming machine. Like the whole sort of all-in-one entertainment thing of the Xbox One, that doesn't interest me that much. I'm not after a full entertainment suite. I'm after a machine that lets me play some, you know, fun, crazy-ass games.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. Like, I am in the market for a full entertainment suite purely because my wife uses it as well, you see. So,
yeah.
And she's only just about learned how to use the current one. Which is not, you know, I don't mean to be offensive to her, but it's taken a while.
Yeah, so some people can do this, some can't.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of degradations in the middle.
Yes.
Not degradations, gradations. They're not the same word at all.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, I think I have an Xbox 360 right now. I think I'll get a PS4 next time round.
Yeah, in the, 6 years or so.
Shush you.
What?
Look, I know that I bought an Xbox 360 in 2012 when it was nearing the end of its life cycle, but that just meant all the games I wanted were cheaper. Also, I got the slim model when they'd fixed all the problems.
Did you hear me say anything?
I heard you imply a lot of things.
I didn't imply anything. You put that implication in yourself. Maybe you're feeling inadequate. Huh?
I'm feeling inadequate. I'm feeling inadequate. It's my tiny penis.
All those cum shots.
Mm. Yeah. PS4, I think. With stuff. I might buy an Xbox One if I get, you know, too much money.
If we have all the money.
If I win the lottery. And then on news, it's like, congratulations, you have won the lottery. What are you going to do with it? Well, I might buy an Xbox One. I might have a couple burgers. I think I'll go have a wank.
Alas, the time has come to heave to, weigh anchor and sail into the great blue yonder. Pillaging his poop deck has been Simon.
Hoist the mainsail, and maybe the other sails. I mean, if we don't hoist them, why have we got them? Who brought these sails? It's so inefficient.
And running a shot across another man's bow has been me, Steph. Yarr!
Who's making the cum jokes now?
I couldn't help it. There's so many cum jokes.
I couldn't help it. There's so much cum.
There's so much cum.
A pirate ship full of cum.
Now I'm sad.
Sad, of all things?